Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Really fun having Gio Ciamba in here. We're drinking a little Rodeo Clown, Carbach.
Delicious.
AJ Hoffman and Eric Warner from Carbach decided to leave us here. Quick word here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We thank them very much for all their great support of this show. Look, support our sponsors, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, Advantage BMW Midtown. Also, don't forget Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10 there. As you're going out towards Katy, it's on the right-hand side, the Markey Entertainment Center. Hugh O'Connor's. The only thing I will say real quickly is these are the people that get this show on the air. Okay? So when you think about making a run to watch a soccer game, watch it at Hugh O'Connor's, because you can go in there and say, okay, they're putting money behind the game. This is how it all works. Same with Advantage BMW. If you're going to buy a BMW, get it at Advantage in Midtown. And by the way, they're unbelievable vehicles. And then, of course, if you need representation, we all get in accidents. Go to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. All right, we're back here with Gio Ciamba. We're here with Gio and Coffee. All right, guys, the soccer connection. Music and soccer, it all goes together, right?
Yeah, agreed. Definitely. Yeah.
Where's the soccer connection come for you, Gio?
Well, growing up here and in Mexico, in Monterrey, all my family goes for Tigres. So I went to the stadium when I was a kid. I just got that fever, you know, of the whole chanting, the whole game and all that. And whenever, whenever I had a chance, really, I would just play outside with my friends. And then when we moved over here completely, because I lived over there for a couple of years, and we moved over here, I was trying to get a little team going around my neighborhood. So some of the kids were really wanting to just play video games. So I would just drag them, like, no, let's go play soccer. Like, let's do this outside, you know. And it was just because it's such a liberating thing. And it's also, I don't know. There's some moments whenever I would play soccer where I wouldn't have a single thought in my mind, a single like worry or anything. It was a meditation, you know, mm-hmm. And it was just that adrenaline pumping and just being with my friends and having a good time and you know, celebrating a goal. Like if you won the World Cup or something, you know, like take your shirt off and just like,
it's passion. So it's so
beautiful.
Such a unifier, yeah. Too. How about you, Coffee?
Well, I mean, it started whenever I was young. I played for Lone Star Soccer Club.
Wow, I remember, yeah. Lone Star, because you guys don't know, I was a youth coach with the Hurricanes Soccer Club.
Oh, yeah, Hurricanes, yeah.
For many, 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 many years. So you were at Lone Star. Wonderful.
I was at Lone Star, yeah. It was a lot of fun. That really started it all. Of course, I watched the national team. My family's from Colombia.
Yep.
Just watched those games. But then eventually I got into the Dynamo whenever my former employer gave us season tickets. 2006.
And is this the great story you told me the other night that you're going to tell now? Tell it. I love this.
It was so awesome because I had no idea that the city had its own soccer team, you know, a professional sports team. I had no idea. And of course, from Houston, I'm like, okay, I want to go support my team. And the first time I went, it was incredible. Watching Brian Ching, you know.
2006, 2007.
2000,
two
oh
titles.
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. And then seeing the playoffs, it was amazing. It was just incredible to watch that team play. And then the fans just go crazy. 33,000 people in Robertson Stadium. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. That was just – that really got me excited and passionate about it.
Those were remarkable, mm-hmm. remarkable times. So you carry that passion into the music that you guys play. Right. Now, Coffee, I watch you. Mm-hmm. Buddy, you guys both you put on a physical performance as well. This isn't somebody sitting on a chair and strumming a guitar. These are two guys that put on a physical performance. Plus, there's a nice showmanship element to this, which when I go to see live music, I like. Not that I can't watch somebody sitting on a chair and playing a guitar with great lyrics and great music, yeah. but I love the show.
Definitely, yeah. yeah. And we do as well. I feel that we share that. Every time that we perform together, we really just have fun with it. And we've talked about it before. It's almost as if we're kids again and we're able to just express ourselves without a care, just laugh and just act goofy. Sometimes we'll make funny faces. Like, it doesn't matter. Just because we want to share that just the genuine passion that we have for it, first of all, and also we feel that if we're having fun, everybody else is having fun as well, because yeah. it's really like that in a lot of different settings. Like when you walk in a room, somebody's in a bad mood or in a good mood, you're going to feel that. You're going to kind of, you know, react from it.
Energy,
you know?
Is cyclical. Yeah. Energy is cyclical, and we do our best to put out the very best energy we can possibly put out. So that way people walk away feeling good. They feel their best. That's the point.
Okay, what's the end game with Gio Ciamba? What's the end game?
Well, really,
if you look out, because you're in the midst of it, you're writing music, you're recording, you're doing amazing things, you're going to play in Philadelphia. You know, if you look out 10, 15 years from now, what's the end game for you guys?
Well, really, in my own viewpoint, the end game really comes, you know, whenever we move on to the next level in life, I guess, where it's just death, you know. But we were always going to be playing music, and it could be in a little room, it could be in front of, you know, one person, 1,000,000 people, whatever. It doesn't really matter. We're always going to do that. So that's just a given. But the actual project.
Remember the other night when we went out for drinks?
Yeah.
And I said, I remember doing radio shows in places where nobody in the entire room cared about soccer, right? But then I have to think, well, it's going out to all these, and it was a sponsored show.
Yeah.
And you guys talked about playing in front of thousands to playing in front of a couple people.
Exactly, yeah.
I know that feeling.
And so, so really like...
Does anybody love me?
Yeah, and it's really because we're just going to do it no matter what. Sometimes we're in our own studio room and just, you know, acting that same energy that we do on stage, because that's just who we are. It's within us.
You know, and no matter what, if it's two people, we're still going to play. As a matter of fact, I feel like we play harder when there's just like a few people there.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't really happen often anymore. But like when that happens, it's just like, okay, I'm going to give them every single drop of energy we could possibly put out
there.
Two
people that are going to go away never forgetting this night.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Yeah, exactly.
That's the same in commentary, and you know, we were paralleling our jobs, which was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I think your job's maybe a little bit cooler than mine, but I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. So tell me about Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, before we go to commercial break. What's going on there?
So basically, we got booked by this center called the Kimmel Center, and it's a really awesome cultural center over there in Philly downtown, and we're really going to be performing at their event called La Noche, and they highlight Latin music from all over the states, and so that's why that's the main reason we're going over there, our first time in Philly, which is really exciting, and we're just really excited and happy to be able to connect with the people out there, because we know that only really good things will happen when we make friends out there. So.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you
being
so
here.
Much
Coffee,
for having us.
Gio Ciamba.
We're really
Gio,
grateful. Thank
you for being here. By the way, I didn't tell that story, but the story is Boys to Men came out at my niece's wedding. They were the band that was hired. And they played Nirvana.
Oh!
They copied a Nirvana song.
What? That's insane.
And the lead singer from Boys to Men said, hey, this is for you white folk.
No way.
It was awesome. Oh, they killed it. I mean, they killed it.
That's so cool.
Great fun, guys. Thank you very much for being
Thank
here.
You. Thank
on
you.
On Twitter, it's at Gio Ciamba. On Instagram, it's at Gio Ciamba. By the way, they're a great follow. I don't know how they get some of these shots. You can also follow me, too. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Gentlemen. Thank you for being in the studio here tonight. We appreciate it very much. We'll take a break.
Glenn.
We're coming back with Marco Marich. We're coming back with Vlatko Andonovski. It's a great night here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Gio Ciamba in the house.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. The next interview brought to you by our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. One of the new signings for the Houston Dynamo, goalkeeper Marko Marić, born to Croatian parents, grew up in Vienna, Austria. Marko joins us now. Marko, thank you very much for coming on the show. Welcome to Houston.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Nice to be here.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your career. And the first thing I'd like to talk about is, you know, who was your first big influence when it came to playing the game of soccer and specifically being a goalkeeper?
My influence was my dad, actually, in the start. And, when I started to play football, I was first a striker, like usually everybody. But my big idol was Oliver Kahn.
Mm.
And at this time, I was watching like some games of him, and then I really loved it. So I said to my dad, I want to go back to the goal. And yeah, this is how everything started.
So Oliver Kahn had a very intimidating presence. Is that part of your game? I kind of noticed that you slightly have a little bit of an intimidating presence in and around the penalty area.
Yeah, I mean, what I loved of him was his mentality. I liked how he was acting and everything. I think, like, you have a lot of good goalkeepers today or this time also, what was maybe way better in some things like Oliver Kahn. But yeah, I took this from him, this mentality, aggression. Like, you have to take, like, you can't be too aggressive. But I love this at him, so I put it a little bit into my game.
Talking to new Houston Dynamo goalkeeper Marko Marić. How about describing yourself as a goalkeeper? How do you describe yourself, and what are the qualities outside of the one you just told me that you bring out?
I would say, like, I like to be a super goalkeeper. I like to help my defense, like to help my defenders in some situations where they are a little bit struggling, like deep balls, I can go out and take them. And I like to play with my feet. I like my game is quite open, but of course I want to show or give them a safety so that I'm not like doing stuff what they think, like, okay, I'm not like that safety with him. But I try to do the things what I have to do and in the easiest way I can. So this is me. This is what I try to do.
Talking to Marko Marić, new Dynamo goalkeeper. Your first impressions of the new manager, Tab Ramos, what are they?
I think he's a nice guy. I mean, I didn't have that much to do with him. I'm more with Paul because the goalkeepers are more together and, of course, the goalkeeper coach. But I think the whole team is nice. I get a good welcome. I feel right now I'm 2 days here, but I feel very welcome, very good. And I'm just looking forward to the season.
So, Marko, how much do you know about MLS? Have you watched a lot of games? Have you studied the league at all? Or is it all kind of a new big adventure for you?
I mean, I have a friend of mine who played in DC United. It's Branko Bošković. And there was some other players like Andreas Imačić, who also played in Rapid. And Niko Kraničar, who played also here. So I know about the MLS a lot. And, of course, when Zlatan came last year to the MLS, this went more bigger and bigger in Europe. So I know about it, and for me it's a very interesting league, and I'm very happy to be here.
Now, you grew up in Vienna, Austria, which is one beautiful place from my understanding. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Vienna and the country of Austria, because you did get your start at Rapid Vienna, a big club.
Vienna is a nice city. Have a lot of history. It's calm. It's a nice city to relax. And for me as a foreigner, my parents came from Croatia to Vienna. It was a very good place to grow up. You learn a lot of good things. You have a very good childhood. So I can always say the best about Vienna. And I can say you can visit it when you didn't visit it. So it's very nice there.
No, it's on my bucket list of places to go. No question about it. We're talking to Marko Marić here on ESPN 97.5. This is Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. All right, I'm going to take you through your career. How did you get discovered by Hoffenheim? You know, obviously, they must have saw you playing for Rapid Vienna in Austria.
I mean, I played some games in the first league. I was quite young. I was 18 years old. And then this thing popped up with Hoffenheim. And for me, it was a very, like, the challenge was big for me. I really loved it. I love, at this time, love to play in Germany because it's a big dream from Austria to go to Germany. Germany is one of the biggest leagues in the world. So this was, for me, like, a good start. But how they come to me, I think I played the games good, but I played for Rapid. And I was quite young at this time, so, yeah.
And then you get loaned out to different leagues. So I'm going to take you to when you played in Poland. What strikes you about playing in Poland in the first division from a style of play perspective?
I mean, for me, at this time was important to play. So I came to Lechia Gdańsk in Poland. It was for me, Poland is a very good league. It's a high level. It's a good league for young players. And for me, this was a big challenge because I wanted to show that I can be the number one in a big club in Poland and in a quite good league. And I think you cannot compare it to Germany, but the level was high and it was a good experience for me to play the games there and, yeah, to show the people that I can play on this level and take the challenge on me. And I think I show it at this time.
Then you go to Hanover. You're on the second team a lot there, but then you get to Lillestrøm in Norway, and I'm really interested to hear about your time in Norway because you get a lot of games. You're the number one goalkeeper in Lillestrøm. Tell me about the Norwegian first division and how maybe it might be different as a goalkeeper than playing in Poland.
Yeah, after Hanover, I just wanted to play. Like I was like 1 year out without games. Like I played for a second team. But I wanted, again, first league football. So then this popped up with Lillestrøm. And I have to say, Lillestrøm, in one way, gave me the opportunity to play and to show myself. Of course, in the start, it was difficult because the league, you have some teams who play like old school English football. It's very hard. They're kicking you at the corners and they play the balls very direct to the goal. So it was like a change from Poland, Germany to Norway. But of course, at the times go and the games went, I get educated to it, and I think I make it good there. Played, yeah, I think 50 games, 60, I don't know how much games, but I felt uncomfortable. I think the Norwegian League is very competitive to the Championship and the second league in England. I will not say from the level, but from the style of playing. And, yeah, it took me a little bit to adapt it, but afterwards I find my routine and played it, and Lillestrøm helped me a lot in my career. I mean, I spent 2.5 years there, but I'm very thankful for the club and for the people there that believe in me. And I hope I can give my games all the things back.
Was it tough leaving Lillestrøm? Because you had a lot of success there. You know, you had a great following with the fan base. You played well there. You guys won a cup there. Was it tough leaving?
I mean, of course, I find friends there, and Lillestrøm is a small city, so everybody knows everybody, and of course, the supporters are close to you. But, I mean, football, you must go on, and you must challenge yourself. And what I say, I'm very thankful for them. Lillestrøm stays, like, for the rest of my life in my heart. But I have to go on, I have to move on, and now here in Houston, I hope I can give the same feeling to the fans like I did it to Lillestrøm.
Talking to new Dynamo goalkeeper, Marko Maric has played internationally at the youth level for both Austria, made the one-time switch to Croatia at a number of different age levels. As far as the way the game's played in MLS, from what you know, and look, it is soccer, it is football at the end of the day, but are there any things in this league that, you know, kind of jumps out to you that, you know, maybe it's going to affect the style of play that I produce in goal?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm just 2 days here. I think the MLS is, for me, from my perspective, a good rate league. I think it's, for me, like after the top five leagues in Europe, is for me the sixth after them. I think the level is high. I seriously can't wait to see. I mean, I just had my first session today, and I have to feel the tempo and everything, how the guys are playing, but I think it's a high-level league, and I think I can adapt it here because I think a lot of teams try to play from the back and try to include the goalkeeper more. And I think it will be a good year for me and for the team.
Marco, outside of Oliver Kahn, who are some of the other goalkeepers that you like, you may have modeled your game after? Who are some of the other ones?
I mean, today you have so many that you can take from everybody a little bit. But I think right now, of course, Alisson Becker is the goalkeeper from Liverpool, is one guy who I'm looking up to. Then you have Manuel Neuer, who is one of the best in the last 5, 6, 7 years. But I took a lot of him. I think his style of playing is bring up the modern goalkeeper. So I think you can learn a lot of him. You have Ter Stegen, you have all these goalkeepers who you can take all the small things, details, and develop it to yourself and make the best out of it and try to do the same things like them, but of course in your way, in my way.
Are you a vocal goalkeeper, Marco? Are you a guy that talks a lot, organizes his backs?
Of course. I mean, when I have to talk, I talk. I mean, the defenses have to be my best friends in the game, and I try to help them. I hope they help me too. But of course, I'm not a goalkeeper. When the striker has to go there, I scream, shoot, or I don't know what. But of course, I try to, when I see something what is not good in the game, of course, I talk and scream and help the guys just to don't get the goal.
Last thing before I let you go, and thank you very much, because I know it's been a very, very busy day for you, and I want you to know we do appreciate your time, but I think the fans are going to love getting to know you. What do you do away from the game when you get a break? Music? Any specific bands you like? You have hobbies? Do you do things to take yourself out of the game a little bit just so that you can kind of reboot yourself to go at it again?
I mean, in first place is my family. I mean, they're now far away from me, but my family is the first place where I take care of, and they give me the most positive vibes and help me most in hard times and in good times. But of course, and I'm a religion guy. The church and the Bible is helping me a lot that I can relax. But of course, like besides football, you have hobbies like watching NBA, NFL, everything, PlayStation, like all this normal stuff that everybody do in a normal life. So it's nothing special. Take a coffee, a lot of espresso. So a good coffee is for me very important in my life. And yeah, that's just simple things. Nothing crazy.
All right, you're going to find some great coffee shops down here. I'm going to give you two right now. Catalina Coffee on Washington Avenue, which you absolutely don't know where it is, but you'll find it one day. And then Siphon Coffee. We're giving two shout-outs to them because I know you're a good coffee drinker. Listen, Marco, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know it's been a bit of a whirlwind. Welcome to Houston. And again, we thank you for jumping on and doing this right away.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Marco Maric, new goalkeeper for the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break here. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, the presenting sponsors.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Again, a reminder, Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there, get into the fray. We would love you to like the page or comment on it. We do want to hear from you, though, and that's one of the things here in 2020. Make yourself known. Get out there. Call the show. Comment. Because all of this reminds people that there is a great soccer culture here in Houston. By the way, we need your opinion as well. Quick word here from my friends at Advantage BMW. I've driven one for years. I've leased and owned from Advantage BMW Midtown numerous times. Got an X5. Absolutely love it. Throw the bike in the back. The other thing I love about the customer service at Advantage BMW Midtown is they're right there when you need it. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown, they'll cover you. Sales, service, finance, it can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Get down there, say hello to my good friend, Justin. Final interview of the night, U.S. Women's National Team camped out in town here in Houston. Tomorrow night they will take on Haiti, the first of their Olympic qualifying matches, followed by Panama and Costa Rica. This is all for the Tokyo Olympics this summer. They're expected to breeze through these games. We had an opportunity to go to the hotel, catch up with the new manager, Vlatko Andonovski. Well, Vlatko, the first thing that comes through your mind once you get named the manager of the U.S. Women's National Team?
What the heck is going on? I don't know. I mean, it was crazy. Everything happened so quick that I still don't think I had a time to really process what had just happened. I enjoy the process. I enjoy the journey, and I enjoy every second I spend on the field with these amazing players or off the field preparing for it.
All right. So obviously, running a women's national team, especially the number one women's national team in the world, is very different than running a club on a daily basis. What have you learned so far?
That first and foremost, we're running the best team in the world. You have to be over prepared, or if that's even possible, you have to be prepared so much because they're so good, and every little detail matters in order for them to get better from the point where they're at. So that's why we try to be as prepared as possible and help them individually to get better, but also make the team better.
Highly competitive environment, cauldron, you know, whatever word you want to use. In this environment, you coming in as a new coach, are they testing you a little bit? Everybody's maybe getting to know each other now. I know you know a lot of the players from the NWSL, but is there a little bit of a test period with the coach?
I don't know if there is a test period with the coach, but I will 100% agree with you that is ultra competitive environment, and I think that's one of the reasons why this team is so good. They step on the field and they know that it's going to be a competition, it's going to be a game, it's going to be intense, and they bring the best out of each other every time when they step on the field.
Is it fair to say that standard was set all the way back maybe in 99, even maybe a little before that, by those players, the Foudies of the world, the Akers, you know, all the legendary names?
It is very safe to say that. I mean, this is a culture that has been developed for years. This goes back 30 years, and it's been maintained, and it's been refined, and it's just got better and better.
All right, we're talking to Vlatko Andonovski. Let's talk about CONCACAF qualifying, obviously Tokyo, Olympics coming up. This is a huge thing in women's soccer, just probably right up there with the Women's World Cup. The games you have in Houston here, it's CONCACAF competition. The one thing I've always noted about the U.S. Women's National Team is they don't play down to the competition. Just speak about these games, you know, Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica, how you approach them.
Every team brings a different challenge. They all have qualities, and they'll present different challenges for us. But we go into this game thinking that every game is important. Every game is a must-win game for us, and we're not going to take it any different. We're going to try to be the best every time when we step on the field.
Now, I know you had to make some hard decisions. It's a smaller roster. Tierna Davidson had an ankle injury, but, you know, there's some Women's World Cup winners who aren't here. How tough are those decisions for you stepping in as a new manager?
It's extremely tough because the difference between the players that didn't that are not here or didn't make the roster and the one that they made the roster is very small. And sometimes those little things make a big difference in terms of who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. But select the ones that have to be here, so many little things go into it.
I know I've spoken to Jill Ellis about this in the past, and we'll get to her in a second, but the NWSL obviously is making the U.S. women's team national manager's job easier, right? I mean, look, we're now pulling great coaches from the league like yourself, Laura Harvey. Is this the future? Is the NWSL ultimately going to be now an even bigger influence on the women's national
team? Right, I mean, I agree that NWSL has a lot to do with the success of the national team. We saw that the league came in 2013, and ever since the the team won two World Cups, and it's helping a lot with players playing training for us in good environments, training on a daily basis and competing with good players, but also on a weekly basis. They're playing against some of the best players in the world, and that is extremely important for the development of the players and coaches as well.
You've been such a big part of this league. I mean, you would have to say that your coaching career was carved out there. I go back to Starfire when you won your first title with FCKC. Everybody was, who's this guy, Vlatko Andonovsky? And then all of a sudden you upset Seattle, you win the title, and everybody wants to know who you are.
I mean, those are good times. 2014 Starfire, amazing final, amazing atmosphere. Obviously, just happy that that we came out on top. 2015 was just as good. I mean, we enjoyed 2015 as well. So, yes, I have had a chance to be in the league for 7 years, and I enjoyed it. It helped me grow as a coach. It helped me learn the game and get better as we go.
Now, some people probably don't know, and we're talking of Vlatko Andonovsky. You were also coaching an indoor team where you were as a professional, the Kansas City Comets. Could the lines get blurred going from the indoor game to the outdoor game? Was that a tough challenge for you coaching-wise? Because, I mean, indoor soccer is like a completely different sport.
It is a completely different sport, but there are so many elements of the indoor game that I was able to take and implement in the outdoor game. Some of the things that I took into developing the style of play with the teams that I coach, and now with the national team, do have details or elements from the indoor, whether it was breaking down teams in tight areas or small combinations, short passes. Those are all little things that come from the indoor game.
Talking of Vlatko Andonovsky, how do you describe yourself as a coach? I always like asking this question to coaches because I'm interested to hear what they say.
How do I describe? Passionate, motivated about the game, prepared, determined, detailed. I don't know.
Yeah, those are good enough things. What about in the modern game now with these athletes you're dealing with? These are world-class athletes. What's the priority? I mean, from the standpoint of the mental side of the game, the player management side of it, because we all hear how important that is nowadays in this kind of professional soccer world.
Right. First and foremost, for this player, I think the most important thing is, and any player that comes into this environment, is to have a certain knowledge and understanding of the game, like to grasp the ins and outs of the game. That's very important. But the mental side of the game is just as important. And I don't want to say for me it's a little bit easier, because this environment, this culture was built on a strong mentality, but it is a little easier because I don't have to spend a lot of time working on that side, because the culture, once you come into this culture, there's no any other way but to be competitive, to be intense, to be committed, to be dedicated to the game.
Growing up in the former Yugoslavia, and we all know what a great soccer country that is, and I know you educated your PR man, Aaron Heifetz, on the fact that Yugoslavia was once called the Brazil of Europe. Yeah. All right, so tell me about what it was like to grow up there, though, and where your first football influences, soccer influences come from.
I mean, I never thought of what growing up there was until I came here and I looked back, and it seems like soccer was a way of life for me. I mean, I grew up with this game. I grew up in a soccer family with my brother playing professionally, with my dad, ex-professional player, my two uncles, professionals, and one of them coached a professional team. At that point, actually, I just enjoyed being around the game, go to training, go home on the street for hours, play, come back home, talk soccer, watch soccer. But now when I look back, it was a way of life. I mean, it's almost like I didn't have any choice. That was it.
When you got to the U.S. and you came to play professionally here after playing professionally in Macedonia, when you get here, judging the United States, the culture, maybe the lack of soccer culture, was that a bit of a shock? to you, and did you have to adjust to that?
Not necessarily a shock. I was just excited that I saw it as an opportunity to make a difference in the community that I was in Kansas City. Being able to coach in youth soccer and make a difference and help the game grow. I want to believe that I had a little bit of an impact in the city or in the community with the growth of the game.
Talking to Vlatko Andonovski, what do you do away from the game? Do you get an opportunity to reboot yourself? Do you do things to try and take yourself away from it just to kind of reboot yourself sometimes? Because it is such a pressure-filled environment. You live it, you breathe it 24/7.
Yes, obviously spending time with the family is one thing that I enjoy. I play games with the kids. It's my thing to do in a free time. I love playing chess. Anytime I have a chance, I would play a game or two of chess. Even on an airplane, sometimes when I feel like, okay, it's time for me to relax for a little bit, it's a game of chess. Game of chess always comes in good. Spending time with friends, especially now, they wanna come in. They wanna know what this environment looks like and how is it working in this environment. So we spend time talking. So it's a couple of different things.
Let me take you back to the team. I've read some things about the fact that potentially you want Julie Ertz to play as a center back, extend her career. Are these things that you're looking at very closely now with some of the players that begin to get a little bit older, at some point are going to have to be phased out? Everybody's got a shelf life. So are you looking at things very closely like that to see if you can extend somebody's career?
Yes. These players are so good that I would like to for them to be on this team as long as possible, and if we have to make any tweaks to keep them on this team or to extend their career, I would be happy to do it. I haven't had a chance to really dive into details what this team is going to look like beyond the qualifiers, she believes, or even beyond the Olympics for that matter. But I'm sure that in between some of these camps, I'll have a chance to make to get a better feeling for them individually and for the team.
Talking of Vlatko Andonovski, two titles with the NWSL FC Kansas City, tremendous times. I want to take you back to Lauren Holiday because sometimes we forget about her, and I remember that final in Seattle, how outstanding she was. What was it like to coach her? Because at that point, you're kind of beginning your coaching career on that side of it, on the women's side of the game, and you know, here you're managing the superstar who on that day was just brilliant.
Yes, Lauren Holiday was the first amazing person, amazing player to have in the environment, and an amazing leader, but and also incredible player. Just having a chance to work with her was amazing. I've always said, like, these players, when you coach players like Lauren Holiday, or I had a chance to work with Becky Sarber, Megan Rapinoe, Ali Long, and like all these players that are on the national team, when you coach them, I never say coach them. I always say I work with them, because I feel like I learn from them as well. Like, they're so good that you can learn a lot from them if you listen. So Lauren Holiday was one of the players that I had a chance to work with that I feel like I taught her something, but at the same time she was the one that taught me something as well.
And Becky Sauerbrunn?
Becky Sauerbrunn, just as well. She was a great leader in Kansas City. She still is an incredible player. Obviously, she's doing well on the national team. Happy to reunite with her, and hopefully, like we said earlier, hopefully I can have her on this team for as long as possible. And she's again one of those players that I work with because I try to teach her, and just as much I try to learn from her.
Talking to Vlatko Andonovski, and I'm going to keep it on the NWSL now. I notice that coaches like you, Paul Riley, Laura Harvey, I notice that there's a big investment, not just finite, not just looking at what's in front of you, but looking infinite bigger for the league. And I hear that in some of the quotes that you guys have. You seem to become gatekeepers of the league because you all know the importance of it surviving and thriving. We know there's different levels of professionalism at certain clubs that has to be overcome in the future. But do you feel protective of that league to make sure that it exists, you and this great band of coaches?
Yes, I mean, we're very proud of the league. I know Paul and Laura and Rory and all the coaches that are in the league. I mean, we feel like we've done a lot for this green, for this league to grow, and for a simple reason is because it helps the players become better players, because it grows the game, it grows the women's soccer game in this country, it helps the national team. Ultimately, it's good for everyone, and we're proud of it. And even now that I'm on this side as a national team coach, I've been in contact with all the club coaches, and I want to be there for them, for the league, for the players, and maintain the growth of it.
What's most important for you to see the NWSL continue to accelerate in its growth? What areas do you think, personally, having been right in the middle of it, needs to improve, maybe?
I mean, I think that the now looking back 7 years to where it was and where it is now, the league has made tremendous strides. Just to keep maintaining that and getting better in terms of higher standards, what are standards, environments, on the field standards, and coaching standards, travel off the field, like all the standards have to all the barriers have to be pushed a little bit and keep on evolving, improving in every area of the organization.
Talking to Vlatko Andonovski, most memorable moment in the NWSL. I know you've had a bunch of them. You've won titles. This year you coached a Reign FC team that had a tremendous amount of injuries and a lot of challenges with people missing. Some say this was your best year of coaching ever. Would you say that?
I mean, it was definitely one of my best years because it brought different side of me. I had to dive a little deeper. I had to figure out a way to win games with less quality. I mean, I don't want to say it was easy with Cheney and Becky and Aero when we had all those players on the team, but it was a little bit easier. Where now I had to figure out a way or a different way to get a result, and I'm just happy that I did. I mean, I had to think outside of the box and make it happen.
The women's game, the men's game, it's ever-changing all the time. You've seen it. I've seen it. You've seen coaches bypassed that have been limited in growing or maybe changing. What do you do personally to make sure you're keeping up with all the trends in the game and you know, don't get caught in a specific mindset of how the game should look just because this is how Vlatko looks at it?
I mean, first, I'm very open to talk to anybody. I'll talk to players, I'll talk to coaches from other environments, coaches from MLS, from national teams, from Europe, talk to anybody, and I don't take anything personal. I don't have to take their advice or go with what they talk to, but it definitely makes me think. I obviously follow the game very closely, and it's not just one part of the world, because different parts of the world evolve the game in different ways. So definitely follow the game in different parts of the world and read about it and educate myself, whether it's diplomas, licenses, schools, degrees, anything that I can do to help my development. And I will do it.
Talking to Vlatko Andonovski, a couple more questions here. Two more to go. We're going to let you go. We really thank you for your time.
No,
just talk about the pressure. You're replacing a legendary coach now, and I've been able to get opportunity to speak with Jill Ellis over the years, being in the TV industry, and was wonderful with the media. How much pressure is on you now? Because, look, the expectation is we're winning, we keep winning. There's nothing less than winning.
Right. What Jill did is absolutely incredible. You know, she was hired to win one World Cup, and she came and won two. I mean, that's legendary. You know, I think that's absolutely incredible, and that just put that much pressure, more pressure on me. But at the same time, the way I look at it is, even if this team didn't win the World Cups, the pressure was going to be the same. I mean, this team is expected to win every time when they step on the field, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I want to win every time when they step on the field, and I hope I don't sound arrogant, and I don't want to sound arrogant. I actually believe in this team, and I know they believe even more that they're capable of winning every game, and that's going to be our mindset. We will go try to be our best, win every game, regardless of whether it's a scrimmage on when they play in between themselves or World Cup final.
Flacco, last question. You got Haiti, you got Panama, you got Costa Rica. Can you tell us a little bit about those three teams and kind of the mindset in this short sort of tournament where you're playing three games in a short amount of time here in Houston?
There are some similarities with them, but they all have their own differences. Obviously, they're very quick and very fast when it comes to the front line. They can transition out of it very fast and hurt teams. But they're very good soccer minds. They can move the ball and break you down if you're not organized. So we've worked a lot on being disciplined, organized, and contain them. Breaking us down through the middle, and hopefully on the other side we're going to be organized enough to be able to create goal scoring opportunities and score goals.
Are you expecting some of these teams to defend pretty deep against you? Challenge you to break them down?
I mean, historically, some of them do take a lot more conservative approach, and I can see that happening here. But until I step on the field, until we step on the field, we won't know any different.
This moment in life right now for you, I mean, you're at the pinnacle. You're the coach of the U.S. Women's National Team. It's pretty remarkable. I would assume this is a job you could not turn down, right?
I don't know if anyone would. I mean, it's the greatest job in the world. To coach the two-time back-to-back World Cup champion, I would do whatever it takes to continue the legacy, to continue being the best help these players be the best version of themselves.
There's no question you have devoted a lot of your time into the coaching side of things. This is a great hire for U.S. Soccer. I thank you so much for giving us the
much.
Time. Flacco.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Flacco Andonofsky, a wonderful personality. And, of course, as we mentioned in the interview, he won those two titles at FC Kansas City back in the earlier days of the NWSL. And of course, the NWSL will continue in the future to supply national teams with coaches and, of course, players to the national team program. All right, as we ended up here tonight, a quick word here again for the presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. This is the reason why we are on the radio. Their sponsorship dollars helps put this show on the air. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in an accident, car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will cover you. They will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. So get that representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Remember, they're bilingual. They support your game. So if you have to make the choice of getting a personal injury attorney, make it the Daspit Law Firm. Podcast of this show at podcastarena.com on iTunes. I would love you to follow me on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. And also, don't forget Instagram, where this past weekend I posted a couple of shots from, yes, the Super Suckers concert. You'll have to look them up. 30 years in the making, that band. That does it for tonight. Until next week, I'm Glenn Davis.
ESPN 97.5.